Can we please talk about Jack Hermanson taking on Marvin Vettori this week on the UFC? But first, let's have a quick look at what happened last week in the UFC. We obviously had Anthony Smith taking on Devin Clark in the main event, but I had a few bets on. One of my main bets was Porter. Well, it wasn't on Porter, to be fair. It was on the other dude, but I can't even really... I didn't know an awful lot about those two fighters, but his opponent came in as a heavy favourite. And congratulations to Parker Porter. He came in as a big underdog. He had a huge size disadvantage, but his opponent just seemed to really gas himself out. But yeah, it wasn't the best fight in the world, and obviously, you know, my bet didn't come off. Now, Bill Algeo, I had a good feeling about Bill Algeo, and look at that, I got one right for a change. Bill Algeo, winner by decision. I even, you know, managed to get the method correct. Although that was in double, so I still didn't win anything, which is which is typical of my terrible betting. That's why it's not cool. They're not called good bets, people. And also, I had Devin Clark by decision to beat Anthony Smith. Now, let's have a look at how that panned out. Your winner by submission, Mr. Anthony Smith. Now, that one, I actually quite enjoyed that one because, to be fair, I do like Smith. I did say last week in the video that I do think that the light heavyweight division is a much better place with Anthony Smith than without him. And if I'm totally honest, if he'd have lost to Devin Clark last week, he might have been in a spot of bother there because all of a sudden he's lost three on the bounce, even though one of them is John Jones. But yeah, he really showed how good his jiu-jitsu is. I mean, we knew that anyway when we saw him take down and effortlessly choke out Alexander Gustafsson, you know, when they fought a couple of years ago. But yeah, it was a very slick triangle, really well executed, and he walks away with it back in the win column, and it'll be interesting to see who they match him up against with next, because I mean, there's a few people light heavyweight. I mean, Thiago Santos hasn't got a fight, unless they're going to do that match with Glover Teixeira. They might have rescheduled that one, but either way, there's some interesting prospects at light heavyweight that they could possibly match him up against. So that was the results of last week's fight. Let's take a look at MMA news this week. There's been a lot of rumours about several people making their returns to the Octagon. I will start with the big guy, Mr. Anthony Rumble Johnson. Mr. Anthony Rumble Johnson has said, and I quote, "I'm trying to bury everybody." That was in a quote from MMALowKick.com, and I saw the article in there. But yeah, in a little interview, he said he's trying to bury everybody. And you know what? I believe him. Look at that dude. There's been a couple of like rumors. He's either going to come back at light heavyweight or he's going to come back at heavyweight potentially, because he's a big boy. Can you believe that he used to fight at welterweight? He used to cut down to 170 pounds. He is at least 270, like, in that picture. Well, actually, no, he's not. That was when he was fighting. But you see pictures of him in the gym and stuff, like, since he retired. And he bulked up massively. He's huge. And he had huge knockout power at light heavyweight. So if he went up to heavyweight, who knows? I would like to see him fight Francis Ngannou. In fact, he did get asked about Francis Ngannou. He said that that would be an interesting fight that he would like to take. So, and I would love to see that. And I think the fans would as well. Can you imagine that? Anthony Johnson returning at heavyweight to take on Francis Ngannou. That would be amazing. Sign me the fuck up to that. Because whilst I don't think that Ngannou, I think Ngannou's still got some problems with the wrestling, and I haven't seen any evidence that he's really improved his cardio. I don't think he's particularly addressed the problems that he found against Stipe, but let's be real, like, if it was Johnson against Ngannou, I don't think they need to worry about that. They're going to stand toe to toe and they're going to slug it out. I don't know who wins that, you know, because Anthony Johnson hits hard, man. He hits hard. Yeah, that'd be fun. Oh, please, matchmakers, make that fight. That would be really fun. So we've then got Nate Diaz teasing his return. Well, doing these cryptic tweets. Instagram posts saying, "I'll be out soon." Now, did we miss something? Is he in prison? Is he talking about Facebook jail? Who knows? But It's cryptic, and it's you know, it keeps his name in there. I 100% think that we will see Nate Diaz again. I don't think there's any reason we wouldn't. He tends to fight maybe once a year because he gets quite a lot of money now. Why would you fight more than that if you get paid what Nate Diaz does these days? And rightly so, he is a star in his own right. Whoever they match him up against, I think the rematch with Jorge Masvidal probably makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. Time will tell. And we've got, speaking of the Diaz bro, well, one of the Diaz brothers, we've also got Nick Diaz teasing a return. Now, his manager says that, let's have a look here. So yeah, his manager, Kevin Mbenga, says that Nate Diaz, there is a 99.999% chance that Nick Diaz fights in 2020. Well, actually, he just said Diaz. So maybe he's hedging his bets that, you know, well, you know, I said Diaz, not Nick Diaz, you know, because like I said, I think it's very likely that Nate fights again in 2021, but we haven't seen Nick Diaz in years, so yeah, that'd be a lovely welcome return. I'd love to see it. So yeah, here's fingers crossed for all those guys. So moving from people returning to the Octagon, sadly Yoel Romero is leaving the Octagon. I heard this morning. This is probably not breaking news because you've probably already seen it because the actual news sources will have gotten out there already. But if you haven't seen it, hey, breaking news. Yoel Romero is no longer under contract with the UFC. He had 3 fights left on his deal, but he's come to an agreement with the UFC to terminate that. So he can go and explore other options. Watch this space. I'm Bellator, Bare Knuckle FC will throw a lot of money at someone like Yoel Romero. They will throw all the money at Yoel Romero. What's this space? He is going to be in Bare Knuckle FC next week. You know, either that or you know, Rising would be a good place. I mean, think of all the steroids he could take in Rising, man. Think of, because thing is he's never, well, I mean, he failed one drug test, but he got acquitted of that because it got proven that it was a tainted supplement. Now, there's always been, you know, rumors about, you know, him being on steroids because look at the size of the dude. Look at him, right? But he's never really been proven to be taking steroids. Now, if he goes to a place where they don't do any testing and he does start getting steroids, could you imagine what he's going to look like then? And you know what? Yoel Romero's a beast, man. He's got a few good fights left in him. So, who knows? Rizin, they also have one Mr. Vitor Belfort. TRT Belfort versus Yoel Romero. Sign me the fuck up. Sign me up to that, please. I will watch that all day. I want to see the TRT Belfort with veins in his teeth. I want to see a juiced up Yoel Romero looking like a mutant ninja turtle. And I want to see them smash each other in the face. That'll be fun. I would sign up to Rising just for that fight alone. But yeah. So yeah, Yoel Romero. Headline there. Yoel Romero no longer with the UFC. And the next bit of news actually takes me back to one of my favourite features. Khamzat Chimaev's looking for a fight. Now, he found a fight against Leon Edwards, but COVID has taken Leon Edwards out of that fight. Now, I would mention that earlier on in the week, I did post a picture because I thought it was news, but apparently not. But I thought Khamzat Chimaev had actually caught the coronavirus and that he was going to be out. That was what a lot of news sources were saying. But that got recanted as fake news, as it were. But then, you know, sod's law, his opponent, Leon, has actually been confirmed. He's got COVID-19. He's actually been very ill, apparently, because a lot of people have been kind of saying, well, you know, a lot of these fighters, they get COVID and they've put their fights back on in 2 weeks. Well, like 3 weeks out from the fight, Leon tests positive. Like, why isn't he going to be fighting on the cards? Like, look, if you're a ranked guy fighting Khamzat Chimaev, you want to be 100%. And number two, like, a lot of the fighters that they're referring to were actually asymptomatic. They got a positive test. They didn't know they had it. Leon Edwards was very ill and then took the test. And I had COVID-19 not too long ago. I've got to tell you, it's like the flu. And the flu is devastating, like really devastating. If you think that the flu isn't devastating, you haven't had it. You've had a cold, because like literally, like there's an old like kind of say, like, you know, you've got the flu. If you saw a £10 note on the floor and you were lying in bed, you wouldn't pick it up. And I guarantee, if you've got the flu, you wouldn't. And if you've got COVID, you wouldn't. And obviously Leon Edwards has been very ill, so he's not going to be in a condition to fight in 3 weeks' time. It's just not going to happen. So it's not a question of him not having the courage to fight, you know, him being a pussy or whatever. Like a lot of people online have been saying, that's bullshit, man. Because, like, look, if you've got like the flu real bad and you're fighting somebody as good as Khamzat Chimaev and there is as much on the line as there is in that fight for Leon Edwards, like, you'd have to postpone the fight as well. You know, it'd be stupid to take it when you're feeling that ill and then get, you know, get beaten. So yeah, hopefully they'll reschedule that fight. But in the meantime, Khamzat Chimaev is now looking for a fight again. I don't know why I went with Jerry Seinfeld there, but that's what's happening. Now, I think there is only one real option. He has put his name back out there, and his name is Mr. Neil Magny, friend of the show. He doesn't know he's a friend of the show. But we actually had a nice conversation at UFC Fight Night 90 in Vegas. Like, they sat down. I think everyone wanted a picture, but I just wanted to have a chat with the guy. You know, I had a little chat about what he thought of Hector Lombard and who his next opponents were going to be at that time, because he'd just recently beaten Hector Lombard at that point. And he was a lovely guy. You know, he took the time to just sit and have a chat. So, unknowingly, Neil Magny is a friend of this show, and I would love to see. I rate Neil Magny. He's a very high level competitor, and I think that he gives Khamzat Chimaev a lot of problems. I would love to see Neil Magny step in on the 19th of December, and I think that he's floated the idea out there, so we could see it. Khamzat Chimaev may have found a fight yet, but moving on to my next favorite segment, the Troll of the Week. It's usually UFC based, but not always. So the Troll of the Week this week, this one's one of my favourites of all time, if I'm honest. Thank you, Mr. Serge Gutierrez. He's got the credit on this one. It combines two of my favourite things, both an office meme, an American office meme, and mixed martial arts. Now, you've got Dwight Schrute and Angela here. Dwight is just minding his MMA fans, minding their business. Khabib fans just sneaking up behind. Gonna tap like chicken. Fuck! If you've seen the show as well, you know the scene that it's referring to. It makes it extra funny. But that is a funny troll. Absolutely love that. Absolutely fantastic. And then we've got Darren Till doing a lot of different trolling. Because he seems to not be able to decide what weight class he's going to. Is he going to 170? Is he going down to 155? Is he going to light heavyweight? Is he going to heavyweight? He's basically trolling everyone by floating all these ideas out there. I know what he's doing. You know, it's pretty funny, to be fair. So you've got Darren Till too. With careful thought, I have made the decision to go back to welterweight. And then there was a chap that commented, if I can just find, here we go. Bakamoto ESPN. Oh, it's Brad Akamoto, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, his Instagram name's confusing me. But yeah, he basically just tries to troll Darren Till. It's just like, lightweight has always been your natural weight. And Darren Till comes back and just says, my dick weighs 155 pounds on its own, Brett. I mean, does that mean that Darren Till only weighs 15 pounds? That's crazy. That is crazy. Darren, I know that he was quite thin and lanky, but I mean, if his dick is 155 pounds, he only weighs 15 pounds on weighing day on his own. No wonder he can't make 170. Good for you, Darren. Good for you, mate. That is a heavy dick you got there. A good old heavy dick, and I hope he's getting put to good use. speaking of heavy dicks, Francis Ngannou. This one's kind of a troll, but it's like, basically there's this guy in the UFC Facebook group who does all these like silly things just to try and get people arguing, and he's put up a fantasy matchup, Francis Ngannou taking on Brock Lesnar, and he's quoting, those wild haymakers mean nothing when you're on your back getting a horseshoe beat over your head. Brock first round ground and pound. Now that is in reference to a Brock Lesnar interview after he beat Frank Mir at UFC 100. He literally is just like, last time out, Frank Mir had a horseshoe up his ass. I pulled that sumbitch out and I beat him over the head with it. It was a classic interview, but I love the incorporation here in this troll. And it worked brilliantly because a lot of people were just kind of going off. And I basically commented somewhere down here, but it's Yeah, I haven't actually put that on. That's very unprofessional of me. But basically, the gist of my comment was that actually, whilst he's posting that as a joke, I think that in reality, Brock Lesnar probably wins that fight. Because, I mean, Francis Ngannou needs to just... If Francis Ngannou uncorks a huge haymaker in the first round, yeah, obviously it's going to be over, isn't it? But I think that actually it's a very difficult fight for Ngannou because Brock Lesnar has every chance of just putting him on his back and just ground and pounding him. And if he does that in the first round and does it most of the way through the second round, does Francis Ngannou have the cardio to get back up again? We know that Brock can go five rounds. So he can't, well, three rounds at least. Like the last time out, we saw him in a three-round fight. And his cardio held up fine, especially with the amount of wrestling that he does. That is grueling. And he just pinned Mark Hunt down to the floor. Apart from in the second round, he just pinned him down to the floor for two out of the three rounds and got the win. And I think that is exactly what he would do to Francis Ngannou, with respect to Francis Ngannou. A lot of people think that that was like preposterous that Brock could beat Francis Ngannou. Actually, stylistically, that's a horrible fight for Ngannou because we've seen what a high-level wrestler can do to him. And Brock Lesnar, for all the hate that he gets, he's a high level. He's about as high level as it gets in wrestling, other than Olympic level. He is so good and he's so big. He's a freak athlete. And actually, yeah, I think that Brock Lesnar would win that fight. And last troll of the week, got another funny one here. This one's fantastic because if you don't know who this gentleman is, this is Matt Hamill, right? And he's the only loss on John Jones's record. John Jones got disqualified for using 12 to 6 elbows, right? And he says here, I beat John Jones and I never hear anyone mention my name. Now, the reason this is funny is because Matt Hamill is in fact deaf. No, I'm not making fun of deaf people, but come on, that is funny because he said, oh, I never hear anyone mention my name. Well, obviously not. You know, he's deaf. That's why it's funny. And yeah, and it's because he's, you know, he obviously beat John Jones as well. Legend of the sport. He is the GOAT. And yeah, fantastic. So, moving on to this week's fights, right? I've picked out a couple of fights here that you could potentially put a couple of little bets on because, it's an all right card. There's some potentially decent fights here. Now, we've got the return of Gian Vellante, right? He's taken on Jake Collier, I think, and it's definitely Collier. I think his name's Jake. I forget. But, yeah, let's bring him up here. There we go. Found it. So, we've got Gian Vellante. He's opening up as the heavy favourite here. Now, this is what worries me, right? So you've got Gian Vellante, he's the 150 favourite, knockout 238, submission 13s, and the decision is at 4s. You've got his opponent, Jake Collier, to win at 2.63, and you've got the KO knockout, or TKO at 5, subs 8.5, and decision at 6. Now, I do not trust Gian Vellante as a favourite. I just don't. I'm a huge fan of Gian Vellante because he goes out there and just, he slugs it out. And we saw him at heavyweight and obviously he put all the wrong weight on. So maybe now that he's coming back down to light heavyweight, he's going to be in better shape. But he looked in terrible shape the last time out. And I just don't trust him as a favourite. I don't trust him enough to put my money onto him. And the fact that he's a favourite is even worse. So Collier coming in as the underdog, I'm going to go with Collier. Now, this fight, in reality, it's a coin toss for me because neither one of these guys, with respect to both of them, they're not lighting the world on fire, you know? So Collier gets a lot of decisions. And the plus 6 on the decision, I really like that as a bet. So that's what I'm going for in this fight. Because, as I say, after seeing him at heavyweight, I just don't trust Gian Vellante to get the win. I see him losing a decision. I don't see it going any other way. I hope I'm wrong, because I really enjoy Gian Vellante, and he needs to get a couple of wins to keep himself relevant, really. But it wouldn't surprise me to see Gian Vellante head off to Bellator sometime soon. I think that he might have a bit more success there. But who knows? If he gets an emphatic win here, maybe he can string some wins together and keep himself in employment at the UFC. I know he's good friends with Dana, and so I think his job is probably relatively safe. But you never know. But either way, yeah, That'll be interesting. I'm taking Carly by decision in that one. And we've got, this is an interesting fight. The main event here is obviously a couple of weeks ago. It was supposed to be Hermanson against Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland has been very active this year. He's on a very good win streak, and it was going to be an intriguing fight. However, Holland tested positive for COVID, so they have brought Marvin Vettori in at short notice. Now, Marvin Vettori, he just beat Carl Robertson a couple of months ago by submission. It was a very good performance. But interestingly, if you look at the odds up here, you have got Jack Hermanson coming in as the underdog. 2.20 opposite Vettori to get the win at 1.67, which I find very strange. I thought that Hermanson would open as a favourite in this. I really did. I just think that Hermanson is probably slightly better in every area, except maybe like the wrestling. I mean, the power doubles that Vittori's got is pretty impressive. And also just overall strength. Vittori's a thick guy. Look at his frame. He's a thick, big guy. But I just feel like Hermanson, he's calm, he's cool, he's collective, and he just knows how to get the job done. His submission on... he got a leg lock Gastelum. How did that disappear from my head? Kelvin Gastelum, he fought last time out, and he just rolled down to the leg and got him in a leg lock. It was fantastic stuff. He also got the submission on David Branch there. His last four fights are against some pretty high level competition, old Jack Hermanson. He submitted David Branch, and then he got the decision against Jacare Souza, and he lost to Cannonier by knockout, which no shame in that, because Cannonier, he's got a cannon for a right hand, and he caught it and he got knocked out. People get caught, but then he came back with a great submission victory against Kelvin Gastelum. I feel like his level of competition with respect to Vettori has been far higher than Marvin Vettori. Marvin Vettori is what, decisioned Ferreira, decisioned Sanchez, submitted Carl Robertson. With respect to Carl Robertson, I had to look him up before their fight. The only reason I'd really heard of Vettori up to that point is because obviously he fought Israel Adesanya, got beat in that one, but he's been clamouring for a rematch ever since. Now, Vettori, he comes in hot. The thing that worries me about Vettori here is he comes in really hyped. He's so passionate. He's that typical like Italian fiery, passionate like character. Do you know what I mean? He's always just seems to be over the top hyped up and like angry. He just seems so angry all the time. Angry and emotional people make mistakes, right? Especially when they're fighting people that are cool, calm, collective. Because Hermanson is an assassin. Make no mistake about that. He is an absolute assassin, especially on the ground, which is why the submission at 4.50, there's actually a special on Skybet, which is who I bet with, at 5.50 on the submission for Jack Hermanson. That is the bet I'm going with, because I think that Jack Hermanson is likely to get the submission. I do think that he probably has an edge in the grappling, just in the submissions, just from what I've seen. Jack Hermanson's grappling is a very high level, extremely high level, and the submission 5.50, that is really worth a bet, because I do think that Vettori will leave himself open to the submission. I think Vettori kind of goes in hot. I don't feel like he's faced the level of competition that Jack Hermanson has. Who knows? If Vettori wins here, then yeah, okay, fair enough. He needs a higher level opponent, an even more higher level opponent next time, because Jack Hermanson's really up there. But I think Jack Hermanson is going to be too much for Vettori on this occasion. So I am going to take Jack Hermanson by submission. Now, my terrible bet this week is going to be... Obviously, I've already put the singles on just a couple of quid. Submission for Jack Hermanson at 5.50, and then you've got the decision for Collier at sixes, right? Put those two together, what do you have? You've got a hashtag terrible bet, which is 26 to 1. So plus 27 on that one. I'll take that all day, but only £1. Keep those stakes low. When your bets are as terrible as this, you gotta bet responsibly. Bet within your means. If I put like real money on any of these bets, then I would be even more broke than I am. But I will have a little go on that on plus 27. That is hashtag terrible. So, yeah, we will see how those pan out. I'm really looking forward to the main event. And actually, you know, it looks like a pretty decent card. You'll often see some good fights. So I think the main event here is going to be a really excellent scrap, whichever way it goes. But until next time, keep those odds long and those bets terrible. If you enjoy the content, please give me a like and give me a subscribe. And we'll see how my bets are panned out. And see you next time.